their walnut special.
This is an oral history recording taking place in the Westminster Archive on the 19th of November 2013. And being interviewed are...
William Stevens.
And Michael Garnett.
Will Kitchen is interviewing along with...
Nicholas Stone. Right. So, Michael, when did you join the school?
I was at the under school, so 88, and then came up school in 93.
Was it 90? Oh, autumn of 93?
Mm.
Yeah. No.
It was 93 to 99.
We left in 99, yeah. Okay, fine, yeah.
Were you also at the under school?
I wasn't, no. I was at a boarding school in Sussex. Thrown away out of the house by my parents.
What houses were you in after that?
Wrens. I was in Wrens.
I was in Grants.
Did you board?
I didn't board, but I ended up spending a lot of time. I did music and various extracurricular things, so I ended up spending a lot of time just hanging around, and a few times to spend the night on people's floors. But officially, I did not board. Plus, also, the other thing is I really enjoyed supper at school. So I would always...
And breakfast, I seem to remember, and you breakfast. Enjoyed as well.
So that was two good incentives to try and stay the night, if you could.
Was Mr. Hargreaves housemaster then as well?
No, Mr. Hargreaves... Mr. Hargreaves was teaching. No, Chris Clark was the housemaster when I arrived, and then he ceded to David Edwards... who Mr. Hargreaves took over from.
Right.
I didn't board either, but did. I did board actually during my A-levels because I decided I just didn't want to go home every night and be asked how my exams went. So I came to some arrangement with the housemaster of, I think it was Busby's, and I ended up, I just lived in a box for... a few weeks.
So was that Mr. Lowe?
It was Mr. Lowe, yeah.
Right. Do you have any particular memories of him? Is he still here at the moment?
Mr. Lowe?
Yes.
Is Mr. Lowe still here?
Yes.
I don't know.
What?
Nicky, we know Mr.
Lowe. Yes, no, but...
true.
He may not.
True.
Right. What year were you in then, when you decided to do the carvings?
Well, we were both in the remove.
Yeah.
As I remember, and there was this sense of a kind of crescendo of we're about to leave, and were the exams behind us?
No, it was we were about to break up for half term.
Right.
And we both independently, as I remember it, we both independently had an idea to do something, and we both said, "I've got this really good idea. Oh, I've got this really good idea. You go first." And it was the same.
Mm. There was definitely a sense of all kinds of commemorative things being planned, whether they were just setting fire to someone's bedroom or quite whatever it was. And this was the thing that we both decided would be a good sort of last thing.
Yeah, and there was a coming together that night of several different... There were several different groups, each with their own plan, and somehow around Little Dean's yard there were these characters appeared, and there were strange interactions during the night.
We can colour that in a bit later. Later on in the interview.
So when did you actually do them?
Michael, it must have been...
A weekday night. We got up probably about 1 or 2 in the morning. We were staying in the dungeons, weren't we?
Yeah, I was head boy, so I had a little room, which may still be there, down when you go down into the dungeons on the right, which was effectively a little cupboard, but it was fine. And so... Yeah, we bedded down with certain butterflies at about 10 in the evening. And I remember it, one aspect, which you can probably correct me, but we had to coordinate quite carefully because Eddie Smith, who was the deputy head at the time and was a fierce policer of any yard activity, let alone something that was about to, you know, disfigure the ancient stonework. So he was on sort of patrol because obviously he'd got wind that there would be all kinds of activities on this final evening. So we were having to coordinate quite carefully when we snuck into my room and
when we left.
And then when we left, which, as Michael says, was... I remember it being around midnight. Maybe it was after
was
that.
It? Okay.
I'm not sure.
No, I don't think it was, because if we'd done midnight, we would have had more chimes to strike our
right
chisels to, but we didn't. We had one, we had half one, we had two. We didn't have. I remember that.
But I think too, at that stage, the main Dean's Yard didn't have a gate over it, and I think generally there was much a freer sense of
security
coming and going. Yeah. Things there weren't. Key codes on the doors and all that stuff.
So was it? So there wasn't anything barring a way to get in it into
the dungeon. Well, no, because we had to. We were obviously in the dungeon, yeah. So we came out and we jumped over the wall, which is the main reason why we had to do it in there. Because obviously, if we'd done it on the main arch itself, which from an aesthetic point of view would have been preferable, but had we done that, then we would have obviously been visible to everyone in. Little Dean's Yard.
So was the door into the arch still locked at night?
Yes. Yeah. So we climbed over the wall.
Actually, that isn't a result of this.
Who knows? No.
It was always locked.
It was definitely locked. I think we actually. I remember actually watching Dr. Ramsey or someone locking it before we made our move. But there was an added thing too of a. Just as far as the spirit of the, you know, how we were to prepare. I mean, we were quite meticulous in all the tools and I think we even had sort of provisions because we knew it might be a long haul. Mm. But there was another prank which had gone on, I think, just before ours, which involved a group of boys in Busby's.
Whilst we were doing it?
I think it was... before, because I remember being inspired by them in terms of dress. So they also prepared a thing where they managed to, the story goes abseil, but I'm sure they just sort of went through a window. But anyway, lowered themselves down into the common room from Busby's, armed with about six packets of Marks & Spencer's prawns, which they then spent a swift 20 minutes depositing in every possible nook and cranny of the common room, including the pleats of the curtains, under the photocopier, all kinds of places you would never find, and then snuck out without trace until 3.5 weeks later when these prawns began to rot seriously and the whole place had to be sort of given a thorough...
Was that the year above us?
Well, no, that was our year, but I think it was slightly before us, and the way it was told to me was that these boys had sort of serious kind of SAS black ninja suits that they'd worn to
toad shoes.
Exactly, all of those aspects. So I think we kind of modelled ourselves on that a bit, and we had, you know, stealthy figure-hugging garments and, you know, neat little bags, which everything was...
Well, I remember... actually being really quite meticulous about my preparation, which, and in fact, that's something which I still, like, the sort of butterflies of going into something like that I still have today, of just having to prepare everything. And I remember there wasn't a head torch for you, so I brought along an elastic band, and I had a mag light which you slotted in.
So you can see it was a thorough operation.
Did you, regarding equipment and learning how to do it, did you spend a few months before, or was it something you already knew how to do?
Well, we went on a 9-month stone carving course. No, it was all very much winged. I mean, we both did and do art, and, you know, were fairly experienced in kind of manual visual things. Had you carved before? I'd done something in plaster, I think, but
I had in preparation for doing this, I went into my dad's garden and found an old red brick and practiced carving into that, and I remember it was just disastrous and just thinking, this is just going to go horribly wrong.
But I see, so that was unbeknownst to me. I think that probably reflects our different approaches to the whole project. Michael was quite meticulous and careful in the way he went about it, whereas I did and still do tend to have a slightly sloppier approach. Anyway,
so this was the first time either of you had ever carved on proper stone before then?
Yeah, this was definitely the first time I'd ever tried.
Yeah.
Right.
So how long was it until they were noticed? Was it, because did other people notice it was quite quick, or was it?
I think we were so proud of us. Well, we just couldn't contain the fact that
we had to show others, a few others.
I think we showed a few others, and fairly quickly the word probably got around.
I think I remember coming back some time after, I mean many years after, and I remember speaking to Mr. Totnell. Is he still here?
He left a few years ago.
Anyway, I think he was at that time the bursar, and his office was opposite the place where we did the carving. And I just assumed that he somehow had known about it, but he had no knowledge of it having been done. He must have just seen that every day. So I think, although the word did get around, I think it was.
I think as Michael mentioned, there were other things going on that night which did detract from our own escapade, and one of which was, all through the night there was kind of door slamming and shrieking and people running up and down. But at one stage we stuck our heads over the wall to see someone who was not someone you'd expect to do this kind of thing, on their hands and knees with a silver spray can, actually spraying graffiti across the across yard.
Yeah, the bit ground in between Burlington Arch and College, in that sort of courtyard there.
Goodness me.
Which was quite an audacious thing. I think he may have been drunk. It was all quite. but then the other classier thing that was going on at the same time as us was
above our heads
there was suddenly this sort of sound of something scraping stone and directly above us
and voices and sort of tittering
and a sort of giggle of a very deep bass voice, which was a friend of mine called Ed Oates, who had managed to appropriate a cistern a porcelain toilet which was about to be installed somewhere in Liddell's, and had managed to get it somehow up.
Well, there was a few of them. There was two or three of them, I think.
Well, this
Paul,
was
Paul Bailey as well.
Oh, I see, who were doing the mission, yeah. Anyway, they managed to inch this toilet. They got it up onto the roof and then inched it along to the corner of what then was Old Library, I think it was called.
Yeah, directly above the sort of left-hand corner of Burlington Arch. If you would draw a pencil line up from the left-hand corner of Burlington Arch up to the top, that corner.
And so as far as sort of prominent things, that the following morning, I remember ours was, not particularly attention, weren't drawn to it, whereas there was a whole bank of people gathered in yards marvelling at this gleaming white toilet that was caught perfectly.
Well, we did hear at some point during the night when we were carving, we heard sort of a splashing as if water was falling from a great height, and I think they actually christened the toilet bowl.
Right, so that was an extra detail. But they also, they didn't just leave it there. They, I suppose, being health and safety conscious, they actually affixed it to the stone with some kind of special industrial cement. So mid that following afternoon, someone from the works department had to crawl out and kind of chisel the toilet off the roof. So that was another thing.
Sorry to jump back a bit, but while you were doing it, how long would you say it took? I mean, you mentioned earlier that you used the Big Ben chimes to cover.
Well, this is the thing, because it actually generally, although there were just the occasional shriek and and obviously things going on above us and so forth. Generally, it was pretty quiet, and there was just no question. I did bring a mallet along, but there was just no question of striking it with the mallet, because you would have just heard all echoing around Little Dean's yard. So what I'd actually done in preparation, I think, because I knew that might be a problem, I'd bought these set of chisels from a shop on Tottenham Court Road a few days before, and I'd gone home and I'd found some old cotton wool and I'd wrapped it round the head of the chisel, and then I'd wrap that in gaffer tape or something. So we actually struck the chisels with the palms of our hands. But even that was still making quite a lot of noise. So the relief came and more as the night grew on, because the number of chimes increased. But the relief came when the Big Ben was chiming, because you could sort of really go for it a bit more vigorously at that point.
But generally it wasn't a sort of traditional, you know, bash on the chisel technique. We resorted scraping to and really just grinding the chisel into the stone. Yeah. And I remember I was wearing red gloves, I remember, woolen gloves, which by the end of the probably 3 or 4 hours,
I think we finished about five.
Yeah. But I remember my gloves were just kind of in tatters, hanging off my hands, and my knuckles were all just bleeding, because we'd been, you know, giving it our real force, trying to grind these chisels into the stone.
And did you, I can't remember, because I've also brought along some masking tape.
Of course he did.
Masking tape. And I brought along some chalk. And I also brought a printout of MG in Times New Roman. Because I thought, you know, I wasn't so conscious of the terrible faux pas that is Times New Roman back in those days. And so I marked it out in between these two lines of tape in parallel lines. And I also brought a rubber, I remember, to rub out the chalk.
Oh,
I know.
See,
this is
what I was up against. I was, mine was.
But you marked yours out as well, didn't you?
No, mine was very much a freestyle font.
Wait, so how long was it actually until sort of the staff in general knew and were like aware?
I'm not sure anyone really knew. Maybe, I think there might have been a few.
There was a moment, I remember, this notorious Eddie Smith summoned, I think, just me into his office, probably once school was officially over and we'd left the school, and he said, "Are you a wealthy man, Stevens?" And I said, "Well, not especially. What, so how did you afford to pay a stonemason?" And obviously he'd discovered. But actually, going back to my scruffy handwriting and crude technique, that came at the cost, because, as probably you know, Michael's MG is still proudly there on the wall, whereas mine, I think, a significant sum was paid to remove the stone that my name was on and replace it. So that's you can see the replacement.
Okay, is it just a patch, or is it the whole stone?
There's quite an area of stone.
I think it's about half the stone or something.
Like half the stone. Yeah, it's probably weathering okay now. But in my defence, I did do 4 letters where Michael did 2. So
yeah. I had actually planned to do MG 99. That was the master plan, but we just ran out of time.
So. Right. So neither of you was punished for it then?
No.
Neither of us were punished.
No.
No.
Right, so where did you go then after Westminster?
I went to Cambridge University, yeah, and
I went to stone carving college to try and improve my technique. I went to the Ruskin School of Art in Oxford.
What did you read?
I did architecture at Cambridge. I read lots of books about... I think partly actually this, the whole instance of doing the carving inspired a little bit of the need for me to fulfil some sort of tendency towards wanting to do some sort of heist or, you know, that feeling of just like just going off and doing something which is not quite legal. And when I was at Cambridge, I as a result of what I was studying architecture, I read a lot of books about the architecture of the colleges, and found subsequently about the this tradition, which was night climbing. And back in the sort of heyday was in the early in the 40s and 50s, where students would go up the colleges, climb up the colleges and find new routes. It was sort of in the heydays of mountaineering and the sort of gung-ho spirit of the time. So I read up a lot about this and subsequently tried a few out myself, but that was, I think, partly inspired by that night in Little Dean's Yard.
So what did you do after university? What are you doing now?
I'm an architect, preserving the historic nature of our cities and working proudly on listed buildings. And of course I would be appalled if anyone were to deface them.
Yeah.
I'm a painter. And I have a studio in the crypt of a large Gothic church in Paddington, on the canal near Little Venice. So I spend many of my days down in this subterranean lair.
Much like the dungeons, in fact.
Not dissimilar from the dungeons. So I haven't really moved on. And, painting. And then I have other kind of odd jobs to tide me over. I today have been axing firewood in Acton as a means of getting some money.
Thank you very much for explaining this great mystery of the School of Recent History to us. It's a great pleasure to talk to you about it. How do we stop the tape?
Again.
Just one other detail that's occurred to me too is that in the aftermath we were discussing actually with Andrew Bateman, the art teacher, about the... I mean, we came clean with him and talked.
And oh, yeah, we did.
He said that particular stone, when most of the original names were cut, because the stone itself was relatively freshly installed, he said it was much, much softer and it would... He used the term almost like carving cheese.
Yeah.
And by the time, 150 years when we did it, obviously the stone had dried out a lot, become a lot brittle, harder, and that made our job much more difficult.
Yeah.
And that's why, some of those names, they're great sort of polysyllable surnames with just kind of with ease, perfectly rendered, which...
But apparently, I was talking to Elizabeth before, that they were professional. It was the Abbey Carver who did them, apparently.
Right.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes, we're pretty sure that the ones that look very professional simply were professional.
Right.
That's the Abbey Staircases. And you can see that there are some from that period which are rather less professional. Scraped and
slayed.
Yeah. Yeah, slayed and weird.
Slayed.
Right.
Familiar with all these names now.
Mm. Yeah. Very good.
Okay. Thank you.